Bishop Frizalis wrote in the Seraph, quote, "The difference between the true bishop, Monsignor No, and the putative bishop, Marcel Lefebvre, is that Monsignor No made a public statement as to the invalidity of the Vatican II popes," unquote. A Bishop Frizalis. Archbishop Thuc did not even make this public statement until the year after he consecrated Bishop Cremona on October 17, 1981. Later, Bishop Moses Carmona Rivera consecrated Bishop George Musi on April 1, 1982. Then, Bishop George Musi consecrated Bishop Louis Frizalis on August 24, 1982. The public statement that our Archbishop Thuc made is a far different thing than the abjuration of error and profession of faith that are necessary to bring a fallen away Catholic back into the Church. His public statement certainly did not give him the least amount of authority, jurisdiction, or any other of the faculties he had as a Catholic bishop before he lost them by adhering to the Novus Ordo sect. As late as April 15, 1981, only 22 days before he consecrated Gerard des Lavieres on May 7, 1981, Archbishop Thuc celebrated a Novus Ordo Mass on Holy Thursday with the conciliar bishop of Toulon. Should we consider these two bishops as members of two different churches, offering two different services, although they were concelebrating Mass? No, of course not. Archbishop Thuc was just as much a conciliar non-Catholic as his friend, this non-Catholic conciliar bishop of Toulon. Bishop Giles Henry Alexis Barthes was born in 1906, ordained a priest in 1930, consecrated a bishop in 1953, appointed bishop of Toulon, France in 1962, retired in 1983, and died in 1993. The very month before his February 25, 1982 declaration of the vacancy of the Holy See, a conversation took place with Archbishop Thuc that was recorded onto tape. Note that this was after the consecrations from which today's traditionalist movement bishops derived their episcopal orders. During this tape-recorded conversation in January 1982, Archbishop Thuc told an inquirer that he was, number one, hearing confessions on the basis of the faculties given to him by the conciliar bishop, the same bishop of Toulon, and number two, attending the Novus Ordo in the Toulon Cathedral because he liked it. There is very interesting, important, and instructive information in the August, September, and October, November 1985 issues of the Reign of Mary, published by CMRI. Both issues state the following, quote, "The Second Vatican Council did meet during the years 1962-65 to discuss and pervert doctrine. Witness the dogmatic decree of the doctrine of the faith. It is important to note that all the decrees of Vatican II were closed by this or a similar epilogue. Each and every one of the things set forth in this decree has won the consent of the fathers. We, too, join with the venerable fathers in approving, decreeing, and establishing these things." There follows the signatures of Paul VI and the fathers of the council. Now, these statements, as we have explained in past issues, constitute an exercise of the teaching magisterium of the Church. But there is obvious heresy contained in these decrees. Therefore, those who put their signature to these decrees have made themselves culpable of the heresies they contain. They are public heretics and incur penalties as provided for in Church law for all who are guilty of public heresy. Thus, we must reject Vatican II as a false council and regard all those who promote and encourage it as public heretics outside the Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ," unquote, from this section of the Reign of Mary. To sum it up, number one, the decrees of Vatican II contain obvious heresy. Number two, anyone who signed any of these heretical decrees made himself culpable of public heresy. Number three, those who signed did incur penalties and are guilty of public heresy. Number four, we must regard all who promote and encourage it as public heretics outside the Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ. The Conciliar Bishop of Toulon, Archbishop Lefebvre, and Archbishop Thuc all signed decrees of Vatican II, including the most heretical ones, the Decree on Ecumenism and Religious Liberty. Please answer question number 79. Do you believe that the Conciliar Bishop of Toulon, as a member of the Novus Ordo sect, ceased being a member of the Church that is one Holy Catholic and Apostolic, April 15, 1981? Remember, that is the day he and Archbishop Thuc celebrated a Novus Ordo, quote, Mass, unquote, together. Please answer question number 80. Do you believe Archbishop Thuc was a member of the same religious sect as this conciliar bishop on April 15, 1981? Think of the facts. Number one, they were both part of the Venerable Fathers who signed the heretical decrees of Vatican II. Number two, CMRI correctly informed us in their Reign of Mary publication that both of them are guilty of public heresy, and thus we must regard them as outside of the Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ. Number three, both of them accepted Paul VI and John Paul II as their popes. Number four, both of them accepted the teachings, documents, and decrees of Vatican II. Number five, both of them believed in and celebrated the new, quote, Mass, unquote, and new, quote, sacraments, unquote, of Vatican II. Number six, both of them were administering sacraments to the same Novus Ordo people in the same church at the same time to the Novus Ordo people that were members of the same religion as Archbishop Thuc and the Conciliar Bishop of Toulon. Will the sects of the Traditus movement be so manipulative, deceptive, and deceitful as to find some insubstantial, flimsy, an implausible excuse for Archbishop Thuc and Lefebvre, while they place the guilt on Bishop Giles Henry Alexis Barthé, Paul VI, John Paul I, John Paul II, Benedict XVI, and the rest for becoming members of a non-Catholic sect? Please answer question number 81. Do you believe that anyone who is honest, truthful, and logical in his thinking must conclude that Archbishop Thuc was a member of the non-Catholic sect by April 15, 1981? How, when, and by whom was Archbishop Thuc received back into the Catholic Church before he consecrated Bishops Gerard des Lavieres, Carmona, and Samora? He needed to come back into the Church during this 22-day period before he consecrated Bishop Gerard des Lavieres by means of the abjuration of error and profession of faith. Did anyone ever attempt to receive Archbishop Thuc back into the Church by means of the abjuration of error and profession of faith? Who was it? And did he have the necessary jurisdiction to absolve him? I have yet to see the evidence that Archbishop Thuc was brought back into the Catholic Church. A number of the other Traditionalist movement clerics have also been part of the Novus Ordo sect. To my knowledge, not even one of them has brought forth evidence showing who, with authority and jurisdiction, officially received his own profession of faith and abjuration and absolved him from his censures. This is required by the laws of the Church for the protection of the faithful. Pope Pius XII reminds us in the encyclical Mediator Dei that the Church teaches us the true faith through her liturgy. The priest's new ritual in Premartyr 1926, pages 48 and 49, explains what the liturgy of the Catholic Church requires, and the conversion of non-Catholics that were validly baptized, the abjuration or profession of faith must be exacted as part of the liturgy of the infallible Church. The liturgy of the Catholic Church requires that validly baptized members of non-Catholic sects be brought into the Church first in the external forum. Only after the convert receives absolution in the external forum does the Catholic Church permit her priest to give the convert absolution of his sins in the internal forum. Please answer question number 82. Do you agree that if a man is ordained or consecrated by a bishop in the non-Catholic, old Catholic sect, he ceases to be a member of the Catholic Church? Please answer question number 83. Do you agree that Catholic bishops or priests no longer remain Catholic if they change religions and start functioning and offering their services in non-Catholic sects? Please answer question number 84. Do you agree that when a non-Catholic bishop consecrates another, he might make him a valid bishop, but from the very beginning of his illicit consecration, he ceases to be a Catholic bishop? Please answer question number 85. Do you agree that it follows logic and right reasoning that bishops Gerard des Lavieres and Carmona ceased to be members of the Catholic Church when they were consecrated by a bishop who at the time belonged to a non-Catholic religion? Please answer question number 86. Do you agree that because no one received them back into the Church, it follows that all the bishops and priests in these lines of succession are also non-Catholic? We might compare the Archbishop Thuc and Archbishop Lefebvre lines of succession to the beginning of the old Catholic sect. The first bishops who broke away were at one time Catholics. However, once they became non-Catholics by reason of their heresy and schism, all bishops consecrated in these lines of succession are also non-Catholics. If anyone has proof that Archbishop Thuc, Archbishop Lefebvre, or any of the other traditionalist movement clerics were ever received back into the Catholic Church in the external form, it is your Catholic duty to bring forth the information for the good of souls. Note well, even if Archbishop Thuc had made the necessary abjuration of error and profession of faith to someone with authority and jurisdiction, it would have made no difference as far as he not having authority, mission, or jurisdiction. According to Canon 188, Part 4, he lost his Catholic office, authority, and jurisdiction at Vatican II with all the rest of those who signed the heretical documents or remain with the new Church. Once someone loses his office, authority, and jurisdiction, they do not come back automatically, even if one repents and abjures his errors. Once lost in office, authority, mission, and jurisdiction absolutely must be given all over again by someone with authority to do so. If Archbishop Thuc, in Archbishop Thuc's case, it must be a valid pope. Of course, this valid pope has not been in existence since Archbishop Thuc lost his office and jurisdiction. In other words, any public statements and declarations Archbishop Thuc did or did not make are irrelevant, except in the internal form, with respect to the salvation of his soul. Since Archbishop Thuc was a non-Catholic when he consecrated Bishops Gerard des Lavieres, Carmona, and Zamora, how did they carry on the very existence and life of the Church that is, one holy Catholic and apostolic? At least in the external forum, not only Archbishop Thuc and Archbishop Lefebvre, but also many of today's traditionalist movement clerics did in fact adhere to the systematical, heretical, non-Catholic Novus Ordo sect. The majority of the older traditionalist movement priests who were ordained prior to Vatican II for some time belonged to this new Novus Ordo sect and thereby lost their office, authority, jurisdiction, and mission. A practical commentary on the Code of Canon Law by Reverend Stanislaus Wolwod, Volume 2, Imprimatur, August 25, 1943, under paragraph 2156, page 465, teaches us, quote, "The definition of apostasy, heresy, and schism is given in Canon 1325, Part 2. As to heresy, it may be noted that formal heresy only is punished in Canon 2314. Wherefore, as Serrato remarks, persons who were born and educated in an heretical sect and never knew the true faith cannot be said to have stubbornly denied or rejected the Catholic faith, and thus do not incur the penalties of Canon 2314. Nevertheless, in the external forum, they are not free from the penalties of Canon 2314. For in accordance with Canon 2200, quote, when there is the external violation of a law of the Church, malice is presumed in the external forum until its absence has been removed. Unquote of Canon 2200. The Holy See has insisted that converts from heretical or schismatic sects shall not be received into the Church until they have abjured heresy or schism and been absolved from the censure." Unquote of that part of a practical commentary on the Code of Canon Law. Please answer question number 87. Do you agree that the Holy See still insists that converts from the old Catholic sect or the Novus Ordo sect should not be received into the Church until they have abjured the heresy and been absolved from the censure? Please answer question number 88. Do you agree that the Holy See still insists that this applies to both the laity and clerics? Bishop Francis Schuchart was consecrated by Bishop Daniel Q. Brown, who only abjured his errors in the presence of laymen, who could not absolve him or bring him back into the Catholic Church. Bishop George Musey told the CMRI community the truth about Bishop Francis Schuchart on April 22, 1985, during a question and answer period. Now quoting Bishop George Musey. Bishop Francis, as to whether or not he was schismatic, well, Bishop Francis was consecrated, ordained and consecrated, by a bishop who was a schismatic. He was an old Catholic bishop. The fact of the abjuration really does not restore the man to the Catholic Church. The simple fact of making an abjuration is simply a declaration that we have made a mistake. Now, who then in authority in the Catholic Church accepted that abjuration and relieved the man of his censures and restored him? It's kind of like going to confession. You might go to confession, and you might make your confession, But who is going to give you absolution unless you go to a qualified priest who can actually absolve you from your sins? Confession is only part of it. The priest has to be one who has the power and the faculties, of course, to absolve from the sin, and in case of a censure, also from the censure. The same with the abjuration of heresy. It would have had to have been made to one that had the authority in and from the Catholic Church to receive that abjuration and to absolve the man from the censure, who received him into the Catholic Church. Unquote from Bishop George Musey. Everyone should admit that the Novus Ordo sect is just as non-Catholic as the old Catholic sect through which Bishop Francis Schuckardt received his illicit holy orders. The statements of Bishop George Musey should be applied to every bishop and priest that was a member of the non-Catholic Novus Ordo sect and offered the Novus Ordo services. Quote, "Now, who then in authority in the Catholic Church accepted that abjuration and relieved the man of his censures and restored him? The priest has to be one who has the power and the faculties, of course, to absolve from the sin, and in case of a censure, also from the censure." Quote. A very important point to keep in mind is that very few, if any, of these traditional bishops and priests, including the independent traveling priests, ever attempted to abjure their errors and be absolved for adhering to the Novus Ordo religion. Do you know of any of them who even admit they were in a non-Catholic religion when they offered the Novus Ordo services? For some years, and often after very many years, they simply began again offering the Latin Mass without abjuring their errors and seeking lawful entrance back into the true Church. Lack of evidence indicates that they were never received back into the Catholic Church after they left it by adhering to a non-Catholic sect. They have never provided the required proof that they abjured their errors or told Catholics who it was with authority and jurisdiction that received them back into the Church. Remember, we have a right to know from whence our pastors came, who sent them, and if they are lawful. It is very important to know if your pastors are themselves members of the Catholic Church. Were they at one time members of a non-Catholic sect? Are you concerned that the Catholic Church still considers your pastors as non-Catholic? Please answer question number 89. Do you agree that all of them who are honest and truthful will admit that the Novus Ordo sect was not Catholic at the time they were members of it and offered the Novus Ordo services? Please answer question number 90. Do you agree that those who refuse to admit they were members of a non-Catholic sect deny the infallible teachings of past popes who have repeatedly condemned the heresies of Vatican II? In the external forum, they still, to this very day, remain outside the Catholic Church founded by Jesus Christ. Pope Leo XIII wrote in the encyclical letter Satis Cognitum, June 20, 1896, quote, "It is absurd to imagine that he who is outside can command in the Church," unquote of Satis Cognitum. Please answer question number 91. Do you agree that every bishop and priest who were at any time members of the Novus Ordo sect and offered the Novus Ordo services lost their office, authority, jurisdiction, and mission? Please answer question number 92. Do you agree that once someone loses his office, authority, jurisdiction, and mission, they do not come back automatically, even if he repents and abjures his errors? Please answer question number 93. Do you agree that once lost, an office, authority, jurisdiction, and mission must be given again from a bishop who has jurisdiction? Please answer question number 94. Do you agree with Pope Leo XIII that it is absurd to imagine that those priests and bishops who joined or adhered to the Novus Ordo Church can command in the true church? True Catholics keep the faith and believe everything the church teaches. A Protestant is one who protests against one or more of the teachings of the Catholic Church. Do you protest like the Protestant against some teachings of the church and say, I will just live as if those teachings do not apply in these times?